Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well. Now, today I've got for you 6 stories from a brand new subreddit I've just discovered, r/ohnoconsequences. Now, have you ever met someone who does something which is so obviously wrong and then is shocked by the consequences of their actions? Yes, well, they may well appear on this subreddit. Without further ado, drop a like on this one if you're excited for some brand new Reddit content. Subscribe if you're new to the channel. Let's go. My friend cheated on her husband and couldn't believe he moved on so quickly. My now ex-friend, a 27-year-old female called Sarah, has been with her husband, who is also 27, John, for over 10 years. Now, they aren't legally married, but they call each other wife and husband. They have 2 children together. Just last year, in January, Sarah got caught cheating on John. It had been going on for a few months. She doesn't have a license or a car. He would drop her off at work, and then she would leave with the guy afterwards. There'd be times where she says she's with someone, but she's actually with the guy. When she got caught, they separated for a bit. Once she found out he reconnected with his high school ex on social media, she went to directly message her and said that they're still together. He cheated on her instead. She cried to me about it, and I looked at her like, what? I told her that he's only messaged that woman and you're already this hurt? Imagine how he felt when he found out you've been doing stuff with this guy. She promised everyone she wouldn't do it again. Fast forward to May. She got caught cheating again, and this time he was done with her. They were still living together, so at first the new guy would park at the street to pick her up. It eventually got to the point he was confident enough to park in front of the house. She moved out in June, and that was the end of their marriage. On to October. Sarah found out that he reconnected with his high school ex again, and that they're now dating. She went full on crazy and jealous mode. She asked him, of all people, why her? She made up lies to their kids and everyone else that he cheated on her with his high school ex. She was the reason why they broke up in the first place. During that time, she was trying hard to get back with John, but he wouldn't budge. She made up all kinds of excuses to talk to him. Sadly, she even stopped seeing her kids too. She'd pick them up at most once or twice a month, if lucky. Now, at this point, she was having problems with her new man. They were arguing every day to the point that he'd hit her a few times and chipped her tooth. Again, she cried to me, telling me that she couldn't believe that John would move on so quickly. Lately, John has been so mean to her and was always on his girlfriend's side. She even said that he loved his girlfriend more than he ever loved her. Now she's even making me choose to be friends with her or not. It was either her or John's girlfriend. Now at this point, my husband is close friends with John, and there isn't much that I can do. I said to her, you cheated and messed up. You had it good with John, but because he wasn't what you wanted, you left him and your guy's kids. Now you found someone who hits you when John had never laid a hand on you. Needless to say, I'm glad that my relationship with her is over. So there we go. If you weren't sure exactly what this subreddit was all about before that story, surely now you know. Very self-explanatory, but really entertaining. Again, just what was she expecting? I've got no idea. She had it good, as OP said. Then she effed around and found out. Simple as that. To be fair, it's probably good for John that she did that to him in the long run. He probably now is happier with his new girlfriend and doesn't have this walking red flag as his partner anymore. Now moving on to our second Oh No Consequences post. Evicted because of EpiPen prank. Now this was originally posted to r/AmITheJerk, but has been cross-posted here. My brother and his son, Eli, 9, recently got evicted because my brother lost his job. My wife and I took them in because we have more room in our house than my aging parents have in their condo. My wife and I have a daughter, Naomi, who is 12. Now, my brother considers himself a jokester, and it was funny when we were kids, but in my opinion, it's immature at his age. He's passed this on to Eli, which is funny since he's 9. Eli's favorite prank is hiding other people's things. Now, Naomi is deathly allergic to many common things, so having an EpiPen on hand is absolutely necessary. 2 weeks ago, Eli hid Naomi's EpiPen and she freaked out. Now, she wasn't having an allergic reaction at the time, but still. The thing is, the EpiPen was on a shelf which Eli is too short to reach. My brother admitted to helping Eli with the prank, and I chewed him out about it. I told him that if he or Eli hid Naomi's EpiPen again, I'd kick them out. I explained how Naomi could die without it, and my brother seemed to understand. Last week, Naomi actually did have an allergic reaction and needed her EpiPen, and it wasn't where she'd put it. Eli rushed to the guest room to get it, and thank goodness we were able to inject her before it got really bad. After I was done helping my daughter, I told my brother to get packing. He said that I wasn't being fair because Eli had stolen it on his own this time, that it was just a prank, and Eli's just a little kid, etc. Pretty much everyone is annoyed at me because my parents really don't have that much space for two extra people in their home. They're calling me heartless for kicking them out over a kid's prank. Again, what do you expect? I mean, come on, how is this ever a prank? Like, if Eli wasn't at home and nobody else could find where the EpiPen was, Naomi could easily have died. But it's a prank, guys. Relax, bro. It's just a prank. Like, I think if there's one thing that you just don't play with, it's people's life-saving medical devices. That, I think, is a commonly held belief. It's one that I have. It's one that I've had for the majority of my life. And I think it's one that the majority of people should have as well. But what's crazy is that your brother is saying, no, it's unfair. It was Eli on his own. Well, who enabled him to do this prank in the first place? Him. It's obviously his fault, and they've got to go. Am I the jerk for giving my ex-girlfriend her ticket for Taylor Swift, but cancelling everything else? I'm working overseas right now, and I managed to get tickets for Taylor Swift in Singapore. The concert is this coming Saturday. My plan was to fly my girlfriend over for a little vacation. It's a long ways from Connecticut, so she was going to be staying for 10 days. I was clear, and I told her that we'd have two weekends together, as well as the evenings, but that I still had to do work during the daytime. Last week, she called me and said that she was not okay with us being long distance, and that after the concert, we were over. I asked for clarification. She said she would come for 10 days and that we could have fun, but that we were done. I can have fun without paying for it. I transferred her the one ticket and cancelled everything else. She called me to scream at me for cancelling the flights and hotel. I told her that I wasn't going to discuss it and I hung up. I blocked her on everything. I'm hearing from people back home that she has since lost her mind. She'd been bragging about getting to see Taylor Swift and the vacation. Now she's telling everyone that I cancelled the plans just out of the blue. I guess that is sort of true. I didn't discuss it with her before I made my decision and I did what I did. I mean, yeah, it's sort of true, but you had reason to, come on. I unblocked her long enough to offer to buy the ticket back if she wasn't going to use it. That conversation was unpleasant and involved a lot of profanity. The upshot was that she would rather let it go to waste than let me have it. Her friends have been defending her and calling me a jerk. My position is that I would feel like a John flying her over for fun. Wow, the audacity to message your boyfriend and say, look, I'm going to break up with you. Deal with that. But only after I come and enjoy a really nice holiday that you've paid for and this amazing Taylor Swift concert. And then we can also have some fun as well. But yeah, after that, yeah, we're done. Sorry about that. Again, as I've said now, twice, what did you expect? I mean, it is just the definition of a gold digger, right? You know, make sure you get the value first. Like, extract and squeeze your boyfriend for as much money as you possibly can and a fun time before eventually parting ways. It's great. It really is. It's foolproof, apart from the fact that it's so obvious what you're trying to do. Now for our fourth story. Old racist accused me of being a drug dealer, but tried to play nice when she found out I was a federal agent. This happened in the early 90s when I was in my mid-20s. I was a federal agent, a special agent with the Inspector General Office of a Cabinet Department. Inspector General agents investigate allegations of fraud, waste, and abuse in those federally funded programs. After training, I was assigned to an office in one of the Plains states. I was young, black, single, and bought my first car, a red convertible sports car. I resided in a nice apartment complex which had a mix of tenants, young, old, single, and couples, but majority white. The department provided me a take-home car, so my car was mostly driven on the weekends. I wore a suit to work. I wasn't loud, I didn't throw wild parties on the weekends. I usually worked 10 hours or more per day, and I didn't have many visitors. I still consider myself a country boy and would speak to anyone I pass, especially if we make eye contact. Most neighbours, regardless of age or race, spoke if they saw you. but there was a particular older white female, possibly in her 70s, that I spoke to for months, and she never uttered a word and would never look at me, even if we were walking right past each other. I finally quit speaking when she did finally look at me and gave me a stink face. A month or two after I quit speaking, she started smiling and speaking, but I didn't respond. Unbeknownst to me initially, shortly after I moved in, she'd been calling the DEA and local law enforcement agencies, saying that I was a drug dealer and needed to be checked out. I had a sports car that just sat there, even though she knew I drove two cars. My personal plates came back to my office address, and the work plates showed not on file, which meant another law enforcement agency running that plate would have to contact the state DMV to physically pull the registration. The law enforcement agency she contacted wouldn't have told her I was also a law enforcement officer. After months of complaining about me to the management office, the maintenance man finally told her I was a federal agent. And that is when she began speaking, but I didn't respond. I was walking around the parking lot to cool down after a run, and she spoke to me again, saying, "Hey there, Mr. Federal Agent, how are you?" I gave her a side glance, but didn't say anything. And she responds, "Look, I tried being nice. I'm not gonna try anymore." I was annoyed. I initially started to let it go, but then I didn't want to go off on someone else later that didn't deserve it. So I turned around to verbally confront her. I was about 8 feet from her and I didn't get any closer because I didn't want to be accused of trying to attack her. Racist or not, she was my elder, so I had to show her that courtesy. So I wasn't going to curse and I didn't want to yell. All these years later, I still remember most of that confrontation, which went something like this. "You're not gonna try anymore? Woman, I spoke to you for months and you never opened your mouth until you found out I was a federal agent. Do you think you can call other law enforcement agencies to have me checked out and I wouldn't find out about it? Well, your car just sits there and..." I cut her off. "You've seen that I drive two cars and I must be the lamest drug dealer around since I don't have many visitors and I don't come and go at odd hours either. But your car just sits there." I cut her off again. "What about the young white girl that lives there? What does she do for a living?" As I pointed to that unit. "Did you call law enforcement on her? What does she do for a living? How does she afford to pay the rent here?" The woman is just silent for over 10 seconds, standing there looking stupid as I wait for a response. She's white, so she must be a law-abiding citizen. But I'm obviously another thuggish N-word. "I'm not that kind of person. I have plenty of friends that are..." Now wait a minute, I don't use that word. Oh my goodness me, she was literally about to drop it. "Yeah, that's why it almost came out of your mouth so freely. I'm polite and courteous to all of the other tenants here. Why couldn't I get the benefit of the doubt of being an honest and hardworking person? I'm supposed to forget that you accused me of being a drug dealer just because I'm young, black, and drive a nice car? You were calling law enforcement agencies saying that I needed to be checked out. You badmouthed me to the property manager and any neighbour that would listen to you. I'm supposed to overlook all your racist behaviour simply because you're ready to play nice now?" I hadn't been yelling, but at this point, I started to. "Don't ever talk to me. Don't ever say a word to me. Do like you did when I first moved in here and just keep walking by without saying a word." As this was taking place, Miss Ruth, another neighbour who happened to be an elderly white female, was walking by and said hi. I said hi, and I told the entitled woman that Miss Ruth didn't wait to find out about my employment before she started speaking to me. I later told Miss Ruth what my heated words to the woman were about, and she understood my anger. Miss Ruth was one of the neighbours that this other woman had complained to about me, and wouldn't listen when she pointed out that was no reason to accuse me of being a criminal. The entitled lady tried apologising, and I told her I don't accept her hollow apology, and reiterated to never speak to me again. From that moment, whenever I saw her, she hung her head like a homeless wet puppy. My apologies to homeless wet puppies for putting them in the same bag with an old racist and wouldn't look at me. Yeah, guys, I mean, if we weren't sure, she was definitely 100% racist. She did just start to say the N-word there without any real hesitation. Jesus, what a disgrace. So weird. I mean, oh no, are you serious? A black guy with money has just bought a house, a property in my neighborhood? He must be a drug dealer. It just has to be. Oh, wait, he's not? All right, I'll be nice and talk to him then. You are a racist disgrace.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I cut ties 7 years ago with an ex-friend, and she attempted to sabotage my relationship. Several weeks back, I made a post about an ex-friend, Rachel, who I cut off because of her possessiveness and jealousy. To briefly summarize, she confronted me at an outing and told me I would have to abide by her rules of needing her approval for anyone coming into my life. I cut her off and haven't spoken to her since. The previous post I made was about a mutual friend of ours who told me over the past several years, Rachel had caused most of our friend group to distance themselves from her. And Rachel asked to speak with me first to apologize, which she hoped would make our friends be more accepting of her apologies. I didn't agree to go along with this, and from what I heard, this caused her to call and text our friends, going back and forth between bashing everyone and then begging for their forgiveness. I've had her blocked everywhere, so she didn't attempt to reach me. I've been with my girlfriend for a few years, and she's really amazing. Now, she is aware of Rachel and knows how problematic she was while we were friends. Yesterday, Rachel sent her a message on social media, accusing me of cheating and providing dates and times of this cheating. These dates were days that I was with my girlfriend, so they didn't match up. She showed me the messages and asked if she could press further for more information, which I agreed to, out of curiosity. Rachel began to word vomit and lie after lie was being sent to the chat. My girlfriend thanked her and said she would speak to me, but we left it at that. This morning, my girlfriend made a post of the both of us out on a date this past weekend, with pictures and some loving words. A couple of hours later, my friend B said that Rachel was calling the last of our friends that she speaks to with the same accusations of me being a cheater. Nobody believed her. She lashed out at them, and they're now all blocking her. As of right now, Rachel has been on social media having a meltdown, posting about betrayal, fake friends, and oddly, the one who got away. I can't say with certainty she's referring to me as this one, but it would explain a lot. Now, OP, I've got to say, I'm just happy that you are very secure in your relationship with your girlfriend, because, you know, a less secure relationship that's going along perfectly fine, right? You know, it could be just in like the early phases where you're both trying to work each other out and you're both not entirely sure, but, you know, you're both in it, but you're not like, you know, years and years down the road. Or alternatively, you could be years and years down the road and the relationship might not be as secure at any moment in time for any particular reason. And these sort of accusations and made up lies could seriously hurt it. They really could. I mean, if you get a random message from someone, or even if it's like someone's, your partner's friend, and they say this sort of stuff, you know, out of nowhere, by the way, your partner is cheating on you or has cheated on you, and you don't know that they have like an ulterior motive or just doing it, you know, out of spite, like, you know, this girl clearly was, then you might think to yourself, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And either you would break up with them or lose a lot of trust, or, you know, the relationship could go awry. That's why I say I'm thankful that, you know, your girlfriend just went to you straight away and was just like, what's going on here? This doesn't make any sense, but I just want to let you know what's going on. Lucky is all I can say. Not lucky, but, you know, you've done well to be in a relationship like this that can't be broken up as easily as others potentially could be. Now, as for Rachel, yeah, I mean, what do you even say? What do you even say about a person like this? She's just unhinged, mental, deserves absolutely no one, and there's a reason why her friends are just constantly blocking her and, yeah, getting rid of her. She sounds awful. And now for our final post of this episode. How to get fired by your hairdresser. So, my amazing, beautiful, super cool mother-in-law owns a high-end hair salon and is a very popular and well-respected hairdresser in our large tourist city. As everyone knows, the pandemic was particularly hard on many businesses, and especially in the way salons operate in general. When they were finally able to open again for the first time, wearing a mask was the law. Salons that did not follow this law were actively being fined and or closed. On top of that, my husband was diagnosed with a rare form of lymphoma around that time, which makes him extremely vulnerable to any and all colds, flus, and infections. This is where the real trouble started. My mother-in-law had a longtime client named Janet, but she absolutely refused to put on a mask. My mother-in-law explained to Janet that she had to wear one because it's the law and she could be fined far more than her styling costs. Janet doubled down, ranting about her rights as an American, blah blah blah. My mother-in-law pushed back again with the law and the fines, but still, Janet remained unmoved. My mother-in-law now got as serious as a mum can get. She explained once again that her son has cancer, but Janet rolls her eyes. Yeah, I know, I read it on Facebook. Then you understand that if I get sick, I can't see my son or it could kill him. So what? Isn't he terminal anyway? Oh my gosh. Pause for shock while everyone in the salon just freezes for a second. My mum backs away from the chair. You need to leave. Janet, Pikachu face. What? Why? Then the second hairdresser gets involved. Get out. Get out now. Get out before I call the police. And that is how you get fired from your very expensive hairdresser. How anyone can think their frickin' bleach blonde hairdo is more important than the hairdresser's child is beyond me. You know that woman has scissors in her hand, right? Finally, a little note about my husband's cancer. Yes, at the time his diagnosis was terminal, but thanks to advances in science, he's now living with cancer instead of dying from it. However, he is still quite vulnerable to germs and viruses because it's lymphoma. Okay, well that is good news at least, but yeah, I mean, saying, isn't he terminal anyway? That is just absolutely awful. I mean, it just doesn't get much worse than that, really. Doesn't get much worse. And it clearly comes from someone that just doesn't understand cancer at all. Has never dealt with it or has never had anyone in their family deal with it. It's just obvious. And to be honest, I feel like she should have just been like punched in the face. Sometimes physical violence, guys, has to be the answer because otherwise you'll never learn. Now, I wouldn't actually ever preach that seriously, but genuinely, at moments like this, how do you make this person learn that what they're saying is just disgraceful? And how do you stop them from doing it again or just changing their perspective? You have to punch them in the face. That is the moral of the story. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. Let me know in the comments down below. r/ohnoconsequences. Are you a fan? Do you want to see more? It's a pretty simple subreddit, but it has some really entertaining stories. 6 there that I really enjoyed. If you did as well, let me know if you want more.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.